my name's Jamie. Pull up a chair and warm yourself in front of the December edition of the Greenpeace podcast. I only hope you didn't get too lonely in our absence last month. This time, it's a tale of two ships. Two Greenpeace ships, in fact. Later we'll be hearing from the Esperanza, which was recently touring Indonesia, but we'd start with something a little closer to home. If there's a flagship in our small but essential fleet of vessels, it would be the Rainbow Warrior. And throughout this year, she has been travelling the globe as part of the Quit Coal Tour. From Southeast Asia to Europe and the Mediterranean, the Rainbow Warrior has been campaigning for an end to our addiction to coal. And in October, she arrived in the UK. As well as leading a flotilla of boats in a peaceful vigil at Kingsnorth Power Station in Kent, her gangway was lowered in London and Southend to let nearly 4,000 Greenpeace supporters look around. If you didn't make it to the open boat days, here are some of the other supporters who came along, explaining what the Rainbow Warrior means to them. Plus, you'll get to hear some of the guided tour they were taken on.
This is the Rainbow Warrior 2, as in T00. The first one, as you may or may not know, was blown up by the French when they were trying to stop the nuclear testing. She is 51 years old, and she was bought in 1989, and she used to be an old herring trawler. And Greenpeace fitted these lovely masts, and they like to sail her as much as possible to cut down on the fuel use.
Firstly, can I ask you your name?
Robert Williamson, yeah.
And from your experiences here today on the Rainbow Warrior, what do you feel you've taken from it? Do you find it an enlightening experience?
Absolutely inspirational. I run the British Shakespeare Company and we do open air theatre. And we've realised in 2004 we had the wettest summer on record. In 2007 we had the new wettest summer on record. And now in 2008 we've had the new record for wettest August. And I think that this proves beyond doubt that what Greenpeace have been saying for many years is it's a true phenomenon. You know, global warming, it's affecting the planet without any shadow of a doubt.
Thank you very much, sir.
Okay, no problem.
Cheers.
It's got 30 bunks, but it only needs a crew of 12, I think, is a skeleton, and they've got 15 at the moment, which makes it a bit easier. And then the rest is like campaign team. So basically you've got like the ship with the crew, like the professional sailors basically on it, and then it comes to a country and starts a campaign, and then you get the campaign team from the country come on. So at the moment there's like the UK climate campaign team on the ship, which can be up to another 15 people, so that's when it gets quite crowded. If we do an action, we've got a webcam on here, we can get the footage out more or less live onto the internet, and it's not a matter of physically getting a roll of film, you know, onto a boat, driving it somewhere anymore, but it's like bang and then it's online and people can be totally involved. I think it's just one of our most powerful campaign tools, really, the internet.
I think that the whole team on the boat is fantastic. The skipper is incredible. I mean, his sense of purpose, calm, you know, the way he talked about how he would deal with invasions from the police and the French. Absolutely not rising to the bait, but remaining very clear about the purpose and reminding them what the Rainbow Warrior was doing and why. That was incredibly inspirational. And a lesson to be learned, I think.
And such an optimist.
I feel the greatest problem we have is a limited perception. People can't see past their nose and their daily activities, the needs of their senses, their immediate family and friends, and their attachment to the life they think is there. Don't realise that there is no life without Mother Earth. There is nothing out here for us to actually survive with and from, without the environment having a balance. You know, people are way beyond what used to be a sense of balance because they're not living in harmony with nature. And this is very common. I travel a lot, been to many parts of the world where there are many indigenous peoples who live very much still in harmony with balance. They rely on it totally. And we have destroyed the dynamic that was there, not only for the planet, for these people, but for our future.
Having a Greenpeace ship in the neighbourhood isn't just a big deal for supporters. It also means a major logistics operation for staff and volunteers. Every department is involved, from fundraising and finance to campaigns and the actions unit. But it fell to Sarah Roberts to arrange the open boat days and ensure everyone had a good time. Here she is talking to James Turner about what was involved.
Sarah, you were involved in the open boats tour, which was the Rainbow Warrior being opened up to members of the public. What kind of reactions did you get from people who went on these tours around the ships? I mean, seeing the Rainbow Warrior for the first time was quite a powerful experience for some of them.
I always find it inspiring to see how children react to the Rainbow Warrior. In Southend, we had a little boy who got on board and he was absolutely terrified that we were going to sail away. Then in London, we had another little boy who got on board who, as soon as he was on board, asked if we could sail away. He really wanted to go somewhere with Greenpeace.
How important do you think these open days are for supporters? I mean, it's a chance, obviously, to see the ship, but is it important for staff members as well?
Yeah, I think it's actually really equal on both sides. Supporters definitely get inspired getting on board the Rainbow Warrior and seeing Greenpeace, meeting the crew who are out, you know, on the coalface every day. But the crew of the Rainbow Warrior were really inspired as well to see so many people come along. We had over 4,000 people visit in 2 weekends, and they're absolutely amazed that it's these people that are enabling them to be out on the high seas taking the action that they do.
And it's about a month afterwards now. It was a lot of work, but how do you feel now it's over?
I feel a bit relieved it's over, but it's always exciting. I definitely could have sailed off on the Rainbow Warrior if I had the opportunity. And in any moment, I would definitely get right on board and organise open boats again or sail away if I could.
Now to the other side of the planet and Indonesia, where I was lucky enough to join another Greenpeace ship, the Esperanza, for several weeks. In the last podcast, I explained how we were travelling from one end of the country to the other to see for ourselves how commercial interests are gobbling up what remains of the amazing rainforests which once stretched across the islands. We were particularly interested in what the palm oil industry is doing there, and by the time we reached Sumatra, we were ready to get in the way of some shipments leaving the country. Here's just a taste of what happened.
Everyone, that radio check.
Thanks, I copy you loud and clear.
Is ready to rock here?
Our boat is ready to go, over.
Let's cruise.
I'm Rick Carlson, and I'm the onboard logistics coordinator.
Any suggestions for the M, over?
Yeah, I think again it's going to have to be quite wide, but let's just get the R in there and then we'll sort of then spot the gap, over.
Alright, we're standing by then.
Okay, we're in North Sumatra in a port of Dumai, and this morning we're taking action against oil palm loading ships in the harbour in Dumai.
Okay, well, do you guys want to get in there, make a start on that M, over?
Happy that, beginning on the M.
This morning we're painting forest crime and climate crime. The first two vessels we painted forest, and now we're moving on to the larger climate message. The response has been very relaxed, I can say. The first crew, fire hoses, and they were blasting the paint off as quick as we could put it on there. These other two vessels are a lot more relaxed, so we've taken our time and we're getting the message loud and clear.
And our friends are preparing some water hoses for you, over.
Copy that, water hoses.
Okay, what's your plan for that?
My name is Lockie. I'm the bosun on board the Esperanza. Yes, I was driving one of the two painting boats.
Just continue, just try and get that on there. And you, when you move to forest, you'll be under the bow, over.
That ship was quite well organized. They were onto it. They had very switched on crew. So within a minute or two of us arriving there, before we had even finished painting, they already had the hoses rigged right on the bow, and they were erasing our letters as we painted them, basically, and hosing the crew down. The water hose doesn't change much on the big boat because I'm sitting quite far back and I've got the nose of the bow glued to the ship, so that didn't affect anything. However, it became difficult for the painters to keep paint on their rollers, and also the guys were targeting the paint tray, so they were pretty smart. They were targeting the paint tray and watering the paint down, as well as watering me down and the two painters. So yeah, they definitely knew what to target.
Harbour Master, this is Esperanza. Go ahead.
Yes, Cap. We just confirmation from Harbour Master. One solution for you that if possible, could you please pick up your men who hang up in Green Copa? You know that your men now still hang up in Green Copa anchor. So could you please pick up your men right now, over?
I'm sorry, Mr. Harbour Master. We shall not be removing our man from the anchor chain of the Grand Couva.
Could you please change to other ship or something like that, over?
Our purpose is to delay the vessel, and it is to draw attention to the fact that there is a policy in Indonesia for forest destruction, and we oppose that. What we want is zero deforestation now.
My name is Bustar Maitar. I'm a forest campaigner, Greenpeace Southeast Asia.
Okay, tug number two has made contact with the stern, over.
Today we're using Greenpeace ship Esperanza to stop the tanker Isola Carola. Isola Carola planning to loading the Sinarmas CPO, and now its two tugboat is just pulled out as far away from the port side to give space for the Isola Carola. But now we still maneuver with the Esperanza, trying to use the Esperanza to stop Isola Carola to loading the Sinarmas palm oil.
Stern tug detached, stern tug detached.
Well, once we engage with the tugs, the Esperanza is obviously highly manoeuvrable with thrusters. However, they effectively overpowered us with having three tugs, and we were sort of shunted out of the way, and so eventually we were unable to get to the berth, and the Isola Carola was pushed in at quite some speed. We were pushed out into the outer harbour, so then we decided to then go out further and anchor so that we could return to the scene with two smaller inflatables where we... painted forest crime, climate crime, again in huge letters on the side of the Isola Carola. It happened so fast, I was amazed at how quickly the painting was actually able to happen. We had climate crime painted on the last vessel maybe 6 or 7 times, and the inflatables were back on board in 45 minutes. So it was staggering how quick you can get a message on a ship with a paint roller and an extension.
And now I'm back in London, where it's cold and dark. Oh well. That's it for this edition and for this year. We'll be back in January, but if you'd like to contact us in the meantime, send an email to webteam@uk.greenpeace.org or look for any of the contact details on our website. We'd love to hear from you. Goodbye.